No.
Blog Talk Radio.
I don't think you would have liked it, but, you know.
Hi, this is Stuart Acuff with Utility Workers Union of America, asking you to tune in every time you can to Bob Carson's Carson's Corner, one of the best pro-labor shows in America. We love it at Utility Workers. We love it across the AFL-CIO, and we're grateful to Bob for coming on and holding up our issues and holding up our principles and values.
My name is Angelo Carasone, better known as Stop Back on Twitter, and primarily I spend my time trying to debunk right-wing lies that permeate our media, and there's, you know, one of the places that we do it is on Bob Carson's show.
This is Lamar Waldron, the author of Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, those two books, the latter of which will become a movie produced and starring Leonardo DiCaprio in 2013. And you are listening to Carson's Corner with Bob Carson on Underground Progressive Radio.
This is Les Leopold, the author of How to Make $1 Million an Hour. And I just want to tell you that you'll get a rich and rewarding experience by listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Greg Palast, reporter for BBC Television and Democracy Now, and author of the new book, Vulture's Picnic, In Pursuit of Petroleum Pigs, Power Pirates, and High Finance Carnivores. And you're listening to Carson's Corner on 5:30 a.m. Underground Progressive Radio, radio for the 99%. Help us occupy the airwaves and support Carson's Corner and support 5:30 Underground Progressive Radio.
Hi, this is David Levitt, your host from SYM Radio. SYM Radio is helping raise awareness to missing persons, parental stranger abductions, and human trafficking through our partners. We also raise awareness that people with disabilities can do whatever they set their mind to through the love of God and Christ. And we're proud to be an affiliate with Carson's Corner, and you're listening to Carson's Corner with Jay Ray and Bob Carson on Underground Progressive Radio and also at SYMradio.com/live.
Hi, this is Frank Schaefer, author of Sex, Mom, and God. You're listening to Carson's Corner, a show I enjoy. I hope you enjoy it, too. I encourage you to listen.
Another edition of Carson's Corner here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Bob Carson. Pleased to have you with us here this Wednesday evening. We've got a lot going on as usual. And the phone number, if you want to be a part of the program, is 347-326-9749. That is 347-326-9749. We also have the chat room open for you as always. And I just want to tell you that sometimes, you know, I can get going on the show. You know this. I could be in the middle of a passionate rant and just dropping knowledge on all you people out there, and I may not realize that somebody has called in, or I may not realize that somebody's in the chat room. So please, please show some respect and be patient. Eventually, I'll get to you. We're happy to take all calls here. I don't mind. You know, I don't mind having a discussion. We don't screen our phone calls like other shows do. I mean, you know, some of these other shows, especially these right-wing talk radio shows, you got to call. You have to practically give your firstborn child away to get on the air. I mean, they have a strict procedure as far as who gets on the air and who doesn't get on the air. And that is because it is, as Lamar Waldron has said on this program, it is carefully crafted propaganda. It is carefully crafted right-wing propaganda that unfortunately exists all throughout this country, and it's gotten to the point in America where if you have any type of terrestrial radio on, whether it's FM or AM, you cannot sit through a traffic report without hearing a unhealthy dose of carefully crafted right-wing propaganda. That's just the bottom line. Unfortunately, there is very little space in the media landscape for us progressives, and there's just no question about this. The media is comprised of corporations. These corporations are far and few between. I mean, you know, prior to Ronald Reagan, everything started with Ronald Reagan. It's the truth. Prior to Ronald Reagan, you had almost 100 media companies out there. You had such a much more diverse landscape of media. And the idea was that diversity would lead to, you know, more opinions. Diversity would actually enhance the knowledge base out there. And then somewhere along the way, we ceased becoming a democracy here, and we became a corporatocracy. And what has resulted in the past three decades has just been one merger after another, one acquisition after another. And now pretty much everything you hear in the American media comes, whether you hear it, whether you read it, whether you see it on television, it's brought to you by one of six corporations. And unfortunately, this has had a major impact on our political discourse. This has had a major impact on the economic policies that we have here in the United States. And it is really being reflected right now in the so-called scandals that exist out there. And I got to tell you, before I get into anything here, I want you people to know that basically this is a distraction. The corporate media does not want us to focus on the real issues. They do not want us to focus on the fact that corporations are paying next to nothing in taxes. Since 1961, the corporate tax rates, the corporate tax rates have been slashed in half. And as a result, our percentage of GDP, corporate taxes as a percentage of GDP, have gone to the lowest levels in history. That's an absolute fact. And you and I have basically had to pick up the cost. Corporations do not want us to talk about the environment, how now there's more carbon monoxide in the environment than at any point in history. Corporations do not want us to talk about the free trade agreements that our so-called liberal President Obama has been so willing to sign, seal, and deliver to the American people. And these free trade agreements have given away our economic sovereignty to corporations and even transnational corporations. It doesn't matter. So they want to sensationalize the media, as my friend Tom Hartman points out, to get the most ratings. They want to politicize everything and make it a political fight while ignoring the real issues: poverty in America, wealth and income inequality. As Mitt Romney, the disgraced former GOP nominee, has said, we need to talk about these issues in quiet rooms. Well, he's only reflecting the opinion of those that own the media, the very wealthy in this country. And so now we're going to be inundated. This is going to take, you know, the media is not going to stop talking about this for years. And in the meantime, you and I are going to continue to suffer. In the meantime, you and I are going to be the recipients of this anti-worker fascist legislation that is being brought to us by the Republican Party. You and I are going to continue to see our quality of life deteriorate. And then, you know, 2014, new wave of elections, what's going to happen? Are the Republicans going to gain more power and therefore enact more austerity, and it's going to be worse and worse and worse for us? Or are the Democrats going to you know, maintain control or whatever? It really doesn't matter. Do you see this? It really doesn't matter, because both parties are beholden to the very wealthy. We have a very, very corrupt system in America. And so the political scandals that we see, assuming that they are legitimate, and, you know, look, I don't doubt the Obama administration's corruption. I think they're probably less corrupt than the Bush administration. But nonetheless, we have just a corroded system. Democracy in America is in an unhealthy state. Capitalism in America is in an extremely unhealthy state. And this is affecting virtually everything. You know, every institution, every form of life, you name it, okay? And so we have to realize that, but I just want to talk about what's going on with the IRS right now. And I think it's absolutely amazing that the Tea Party, oh, suddenly, you know, we have to feel bad for these Tea Party members. You know, these are just freedom-loving Americans looking to protect their freedom, right? They're just, you know, good-hearted, decent Americans that just have a problem. They just have a problem with government. They think that government is too big, whatever the hell that means. Has anybody ever explained to you what that means? Does anybody know what that government is too big? Is government too big for you to walk outside of your house? Is government too big for you to deposit your money in a savings account or a checking account and have it insured? Is the government too big for you to expect that the air you breathe in is clean or the medicine that you take is healthy, is not tainted? Is the government too big to give you your refund checks come tax season? You know that 80% of Americans receive refunds back from the government, right? Is the government too big to have the police arrive at your home when you're being robbed or whatever the circumstance is? I mean, do you get the point here? Is the government too big? Now, we all depend on the government. We all depend on the United States government. And to the extent that the United States government works and is very successful, we in America have been conditioned to take it for granted. Well, I don't take it for granted. I don't take good governance, good regulatory agencies for granted. And the reason why I don't take it for granted is because these are the last countervailing institutions between us and a total corporate state. Ralph Nader has said this repeatedly for years. Every single agency, every single countervailing institution, whether it's regulatory agencies, whether it's consumer advocacy groups, whether it's unions, you know, whether it's any type of solidarity, has been decimated over the last 30 plus years, because that is the goal of corporate America. That is the goal of the very wealthy, to turn us into a complete corporate state. And I'm telling you, they're so close to doing this now. It's really remarkable. It really is. But going back to the Tea Party, you know, the idea that they're somehow victims and you know, they're just poor, innocent people looking to express their political beliefs is just absolutely nonsense. These are the most racist people among us. It's an absolute fact. Not all Tea Party people are racist. But if you poll the Tea Party, you really examine their beliefs, and this has been documented, you will see that a significant percentage of Tea Party people are racist compared to the general population. They tend to have negative opinions about minorities. They tend to believe welfare queen myths. They tend to believe conspiracy theories. They tend to believe whatever the corporate spokesperson tells them to believe. And that's an absolute fact. And as for the idea that these Tea Party people, they like democracy, and they're just exercising their right to speak. I seem to remember a few years ago during the healthcare debate when these monsters were invading town halls and shouting down representatives who were in favor of conservative healthcare reform. I seem to remember these Tea Party people throwing bricks through the windows of Democratic lawmakers who supported healthcare bills. I seem to remember an alliance and a still ongoing alliance between the Tea Party and various white supremacist groups, as substantiated by the Kansas City Star and their interview with Gordon Baum, one of the largest white supremacist groups in America, the Conservative Council Citizens, CCC, the Council of Conservative Citizens. I mean, this is ridiculous. And if anybody is targeted in America, if any political group has been targeted in America, it's been progressive groups, only it doesn't get reported. It's taken for granted, for crying out loud. Look at labor unions in America, okay? For the past 30-plus years, labor unions have been decimated in this country. I mean, it's practically illegal in America to form a union. It's next to impossible. We have union busting in this country. It's a multi-billion dollar industry carried out by lobbyists in Washington, D.C., hired by corporations. You can't even speak about unions in the workplace anymore. And unions are non-existent in the private sector. I mean, this has been standard practice. This has been standard operating procedure as we move more towards fascism, the elimination of unions, the elimination of one of the few countervailing institutions that we have here today. Gone. You try to join a union, see what happens. Go tell your employer that you want to join a union. It's practically illegal in this country, and these unions have been targeted by the IRS for years. Go ask Richard Trumka. Go ask some labor unions. They'll tell you. And then you can look at progressive journalists in America, okay? I seem to remember a few years ago a story that came out that, again, this was buried in the corporate media. You couldn't find it. Where you had journalists like Brad Freeman, and I'm no fan of Brad Freeman. I mean, you know, I've you know, whatever. He does good work. I'm not going to say that, but he's, you know, on a personal side, whatever. But he was targeted by the Chamber of Commerce and the defense industry. They actually had a list of journalists out there that they were spying on, that they were looking at, that they were going to smear. They were smearing. You know, that's the Chamber of Commerce. That's the defense industry. Did that make news? Did we see that? What about the NAACP? A black rights organization started in 1910, I believe. They were targeted under the Bush administration. I mean, you know, it doesn't become a scandal unless the corporate handmaidens, the Tea Party, who are part of the corporate strategy of America, get targeted. And by the way, these Tea Party groups are not targeted. You know that over the last 2 years, and this is absolutely disgusting, and it just goes to show you just the expansion of money in politics. There's over 3,000 of these 501c4 groups, these corporate front groups, where nobody knows where the donations are coming from. Over 3,000 of these groups. When have we seen this? We've never seen this. This is unprecedented. And it doesn't exist on the progressive side. You don't see 3,000 plus, you know, progressive corporate front groups. Why? Because there's no billionaire behind us. That's why. There's no, you know, libertarian billionaire infrastructure behind the progressive movement. It's just people like me and people like Brad Hollatt. And others that are just sick and tired of what's going on in this country. So you have 3,800 of these corporate front groups that are all comprised of Wall Street, the big business interests of America, Wall Street, the oil industry, fill in the blank. They get these stupid low information people to go scream about government regulation. We just have to make it easier for the corporations, because the corporations have such a hard ride in America. They have such a tough environment here in America, right? They just don't have as much power, as much freedom, right? So they fund these groups, and they get these old white Americans and racist Americans. By the way, I'm going to say this. Everybody that I know that's watched Fox News, and I usually don't make anecdotal arguments, but I think it's absolutely true. Everybody that I know that has watched Fox News, that watches Fox News, is a racist. There is no doubt about it. Nobody wants to admit this. I understand they'll get targeted, but it's the truth. Everybody that watches Fox News, they're not going to admit it to you, but as you talk to them, as you hear their resentment towards minorities, you hear their hostility towards immigrants, and they're believing in the welfare queen myth as propagated by Ronald Reagan, you could see their blatant racism. I mean, it's an absolute fact. They get these people out there and put them to use for their benefit. And then when the Tea Party group gathers, no matter how many they are, there'll be wall-to-wall coverage, there'll be news trucks, there'll be PR firms getting them the most attention, there'll be $500,000, chrome-plated buses, there'll be jumbotrons, I mean, you name it. That's what happens. They're a business investment. The Tea Party, by and large, is a business investment for the very wealthiest among us. And you have an IRS which has been gutted, an IRS which is under attack by the same Tea Party organizations and the same right-wing billionaires like David and Charles Koch and fill in the blank that don't want to pay taxes. And so the IRS is being gutted, and they have to enforce some type of tax fairness. They have to really go after these people. But it's impossible because the countervailing institutions like the IRS and whatever, they do not have the resources to go after the private sector. The private sector, the business lobby, will always have an advantage. They'll always have more power. And so I don't blame them for going after these or trying to go after these 3,800 groups. They can't possibly do it. But we need to find out who's funding these groups. We need to essentially treat them as enemies, because I would argue that they are. And as far as these social welfare, what we're talking about, these tax-exempt social welfare organizations, okay, let's eliminate them all. Let's have them all pay taxes. I don't care. There shouldn't be a group. Churches should pay taxes. Political groups should pay taxes, because they use the commons more so than we do. So, why do we have this in the first place? That's the real scandal. The real scandal is an election system that allows this to take place, and an uncertainty of the rules. So, it's just really, really frustrating. But just keep in mind here that this is what's happening in America, is that the Tea Party is the crown jewel of corporate America. Wall Street and all the vested interests that rule our economy hire these people, pay people, bus them around to disrupt things that threaten their business interests. And the IRS trying to, find out where these groups are coming from, find out who's funding these groups. They're doing America's bidding. They're doing what the IRS should do. But now, our system is so perverted. Our value system, as Peter Joseph talks about, is so perverted in America that groups like the Tea Party can be considered, good standing citizens. That's how upside down America's become. You've got someone like Mitt Romney, who should be thrown in jail, who destroyed the lives of millions of people, who was a business partner of two guys that furthered Alan Stanford's Ponzi scheme, who didn't want to pay taxes, just was the worst of the worst. Mitt Romney, in my opinion, is evil. He's an evil person. But he not only got the nomination of a political party, he could also get 47% of the vote, which really shows you how upside down we are in America. We have a value system disorder in America where we view the sequence of money as being more important than the sequence of life. And it's really, really disgusting. And this is essentially a product of it all. Planned Parenthood, another group that provides services to women who need them and actually saves lives, despite the hysterical pro-life movement out there and what they want you to believe. They're legally targeted every single day in every single state. Women who want to get an abortion in America have to go across country because these groups have been targeted out of existence. And that's par for the course. That's fine. We consider that good governance. I mean, this is just disgusting. It really is. you have bumpkins like Sarah Palin out there. You know, this is also the hypocrisy of these people and just the lack of understanding. You have people like Sarah Palin out there talking about the evils of the IRS and bashing the IRS. But at the same time, many of these Tea Party people, as I've said, rely on funding from the government. They rely on tax returns from the government. And 80% of tax filers receive refunds from the government. So the IRS is evil. The IRS is bad. But yet when it comes to that check that they send us in the mail, they're fine. That's okay. You know, they're not too evil to process my taxes and give me a tax return. You see how we take it for granted? We allow this. We allow these people to just, you know, make these statements about the IRS and others. The IRS is necessary. We need the IRS to do their job. And if we had a more effective IRS in this country, keep in mind that anywhere from $70 billion to $100 billion goes missing from the Treasury each year because of tax evasion. We have trillions of dollars sitting in offshore tax havens right now. There's one building in the Bermuda that has 1,800 companies. We have the nation's largest corporations paying next to nothing in taxes. One out of four corporations paying zero in federal income taxes. If the IRS did its job, if the IRS wasn't gutted by the forces of fascism in America, then guess what? We wouldn't see cuts in food stamps. We wouldn't see cuts in Head Start programs. We wouldn't see cuts in student investment. We wouldn't see students having to pay more for student loans. Keep in mind, when Ronald Reagan came in, 80% of the student loans in America were covered by the United States government. And we reversed course, and now we're all paying so that they don't have to pay. That's what the importance of the IRS. That's why we need a good, vibrant IRS that's going to actually collect taxes from those that want to use our commons, like corporate America, like people like David and Charles Koch, who are welfare queens. People like Donald Trump, who are welfare queens. I can go on and on and on. We need an IRS to collect taxes from them, just like they do from all of us, even before we get our paychecks. And we need to use those taxes for the benefit of our society. We need to use those taxes to actually rebuild America instead of setting up 14 bases in Afghanistan. What the hell are we doing that for? Setting up 14 military bases in Afghanistan. Isn't that lovely? Aren't you just happy to hear about that? Right? Do you hear any talk from the Tea Party, these stupid Tea Party people, about that? Do you hear any talk about, you know, wasteful spending as it pertains to corporate subsidies, corporate welfare? No, of course not. But think about that. After we pull out of this disaster that's known as Afghanistan, and we set up 14 military bases, right? Those military bases are going to be looted by the private for-profit contractors out there. That's what their job is. That's what they've done. That's what they've done in Iraq. We had a point in Iraq where there was more contractors than soldiers. You had groups like Halliburton, CACI, other defense contractors that were literally siphoning the U.S. government to the tune of trillions of dollars. I mean, trillions of dollars. Why do you think it is that the Defense Department works on designing a fighter jet that costs $500 billion and wasn't used since the Cold War? Why is it that we have Halliburton, you know, burning tanker trucks in Baghdad when when they can easily repair them? Why is it that we have, you know, hammers in Iraq? $800 the government is paying for hammers because it goes to the market system. Our market system is inherently inefficient. And inefficiency reaps profits for those that are in charge. It's the bottom line. And so for all this anti-government rhetoric, you know, understand this, that the government does things very efficiently because it takes the profit motive out of what they're doing. The last time I checked, I didn't see anybody working for the IRS on the Fortune 400 list. I don't see anybody working for the Medicare Administration on the Fortune 400 list. I don't see anybody working for the post office on the Fortune 400 list. And these government agencies provide services for the American people in which the private enterprise could not do it, because in order to make a profit, businesses have to cut costs. Planned obsolescence. And every business does it. The last thing the oil company wants us to become is energy efficient. The last thing the diamond industry wants is to have an abundance of diamonds out there. I mean, you could just go on and on and on. And there's a place for the market system. Don't get me wrong, but we cannot have the market system trump everything. We cannot have the sequence of money take precedence over the sequence of life. And another thing that Ralph Nader talks about, and this is important, and this is why we have to reject the corporate media at all costs. Those who control the yardsticks control the game. If we continually measure our economy on the profits of Wall Street and the stock market and the unemployment rate and this and that, then we're going to continue to play by their rules. He who controls the yardsticks control the game. We should measure how this country is doing by wealth and income inequality, by life expectancy, by poverty, all these different things. But we don't, because again, you and I are just rats in a cage. We'll be right back after this brief timeout here on Carson's Corner. Give me a call at 347-326-9749. 347-326-9749, folks.
Get over here!
Hi, this is David Levitt, your host from SYM Radio. SYM Radio is helping raise awareness to missing persons, parental stranger abductions, and human trafficking through our partners. We also raise awareness that people with disabilities can do whatever they set their mind to through the love of God and Christ. And we're proud to be an affiliate with Carson's Corner, and you're listening to Carson's Corner with Jay Ray and Bob Carson on Underground Progressive Radio and also at symradio.com/live.
We're back here in Carson's Corner, and I want to remind you to keep on supporting the great work that David Levitt does at symradio.com. We're glad to see Gina DeJesus reunited with her family. David has been talking about this case, publicizing this case for years, and we actually had the pleasure of interviewing Gina DeJesus' mother, Nancy Ruiz, last year. She called and she told us about Gina's story. And what do you know? She was captured a little after a year later. And it's so important to support David Levitt and what he's doing. You're listening to Carson's Corner. Excuse me. Oh, man. I just feel like crap. You know, like the weather changes. You get one day it's hot. The next day it's cold. And my throat was sore, and I feel like crap. But here's the good news about me. Here's what I'm going through right now. I've decided to really start to watch my diet now. All right. I was a bit of a fast food junkie, and I have been really during the course of several years of my life. All right. I have exercised very little self control at various times. And some of this is due to depression. You know, I'll be honest with you. I lost both of my parents very close to each other, about 3 years. And once my mother died, that was it. I really had nobody. You know, she was the last person that really gave a damn about me. And it's the truth. Okay? After I lost her, I lost my grandmother. And, you know, it's been a struggle ever since then. I've struggled to keep a roof over my head. There was times where I was homeless. I went out to California and lived with Dan Quinn for a while and didn't like it there, and I came back. And I mean, I've just been all over the place, all right? And as a result of that, I've just kind of binged. I've kind of eaten a lot, made some very poor choices in terms of my health, and then I'm just getting sick and tired of it. I'm getting sick and tired of feeling just like a slob, like feeling like how Governor Christie looks. You know, I'm getting tired of it. And I'm saying, you know what, I have to really do something here. And the good thing about me is I'm an athletic guy, and I have shown a history of losing weight. I can lose weight when I really want to. My biggest challenge is keeping it off. That's the problem with me. I have no problem losing weight. So what I've done is I've eliminated all fried foods pretty much. I'm eating salads, other foods that are more healthy for me. I'm lowering my blood pressure, okay? And I'm trying to turn my life around in terms of my health. And so far, I'm succeeding. You know, I'm starting to feel a little better. I'm starting to lose a little weight. And that's why when I look at a governor or someone like Governor Christie, who recently had stomach surgery, right, to lose weight, I just look at him as pathetic. Because, si puedo, usted usarlo, puedo, I'm sorry, I forgot the, si puedo usarlo, usted puede usarlo, okay? If I do it, you could do it. And Governor Christie is a real slob, both physically and both as a human being. His economic policies have been very, very slovenly here for this state, and you know, he just loses credibility, unfortunately, with his weight. And the thing about Governor Christie that really worries me, and I've been saying this on my radio show for a long time now, and I could speak on this. He has a very, very powerful media structure in the state. New Jersey 101.5, which is I think the largest FM talk station in America, is practically part of the Christie Communications team. Many of the state's newspapers, including the Asbury Park Press, are decidedly conservative. And as a result of the absence of economic performance from Governor Christie, the highest property taxes still, high unemployment rate above national average, the lack of creation of jobs, the wasting of taxpayer dollars to corporations, you know, giving $90 million to Goya alone. His, you know, right-wing economic agenda has really hurt the state. But it doesn't matter. He's still going to get reelected because he just has, unfortunately, a good personality for the media. Governor Christie is a really good soundbite governor. And that's what he is. He's a soundbite governor that really has done nothing in this state but enact reforms that hurt teachers and hurt you and I. You know, I mean, I could go down the line of things that he's done, but he's most likely going to get reelected. And it's unfortunate. It really is, because I haven't looked at her too much, but Barbara Bono, the way she talks and some interviews that I've heard her, she's pretty impressive. But does she stand a chance against Governor Christie? Probably not. Governor Christie is too busy meeting with outside influences like the Koch brothers and others to discuss GOP strategy. Governor Christie is too busy teaming up with right-wing billionaires like David Tepper trying to privatize our school systems here in New Jersey. And even in this Democratic state, you see the power of propaganda. You see just how New Jersey residents are hoodwinked into thinking that this guy has done a good job. He really hasn't. Okay? And, you know, this whole notion of this is one of the things that really frustrates me. The whole notion of blaming our fiscal problems on teachers and unions is just absolutely laughable to those that have paid attention for the past 5 years now. You know, the last time I checked, the pension system in America did not cause the 2008 Wall Street collapse. That was systematic deregulation at the behest of many Republicans and some Democrats. Bill Clinton signed off on it in the 1990s. Bill Clinton signed an omnibus budget bill that contained the Commodities Futures Modernization Act, which banned the regulation of derivatives. And now, you know, the derivatives market is much higher than what it was before Barack Obama came into office now. Now, when is that going to explode again? It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When is it going to explode again? When is Wall Street going to melt our economy down? Isn't it amazing that after the Federal Reserve spent tens of trillions of dollars bailing out these banks all across the world, right? The Federal Reserve, which gives the banks money at a 0.2% interest rate, Wall Street has not been held accountable. They're still continuing the same toxic business model that is inevitably going to fry the world's economic system again. They're still in charge. They run the place. They own Washington, D.C. And what have we seen since 2008? We've seen Republicans go after unions and go after teachers as if they are the cause of the financial collapse. As if before 2008 we were talking about the pension system and how the pension system is just killing our country. It's absolutely nonsense, but it shows you, again, it's one more illustration about who has the power in this country. Wall Street is a ticking time bomb. If I had my way, I would severely restrict the practices of Wall Street. I would separate the commercial and investment banks just like we had in this country after the policies of the New Deal. If some rich guy wants to gamble his goddamn retirement away, let him go to let him go to Vegas, or let him go to Atlantic City and do it. But keep it separate from our money. I am a proponent of denying insurance to banks that engage in these risky behaviors. And here's the kicker, folks. You and I are subsidizing this behavior. The United States taxpayer is creating an insurance for these derivatives. It's an absolute fact. I mean, isn't this upside down? Isn't just this completely backwards? We're subsidizing the behavior of Wall Street. We're allowing them to continue to grow bigger and bigger and bigger and do the same things that they were before the collapse. And on top of that, we're cutting from federal budgets. The federal budget now, because of right-wing hysteria, is low. Government spending is at its lowest levels in decades. Discretionary spending is extremely low. And yet people are suffering. I subscribe to The Nation magazine, and it talks about this military community in, I forget which town in California. It's a military town, basically. And the teachers in this town are having to lay off teachers because they're not getting the funding from the federal government because a certain program targeting Native Americans has been cut under the sequestration. And so as a result of this, they're going to have to start firing more teachers, and it's having this ripple effect throughout the community, okay? And then, you know, you look at the food stamps program, right? Look at how even the Democrats are proposing cutting $4 billion from food stamps. And the Republicans, of course, want to triple that and bring it up to $21 billion. So in other words, we are making a value judgment that we have enough money to subsidize Wall Street. We have enough money to make sure that the fat cats on Wall Street get fatter and fatter and fatter and jeopardize our future and put us on a path to another meltdown of the world economy. And yet we don't have the money to help poor people get food. We don't have the money to help poor Medicare patients get cancer treatments or fill in the blank. Do you see this? Do you see how disgusting this is? How toxic this is? Do you see how I could be disgusted to be an American? Are you proud to be an American when this is going on right in this country? Are you proud to be an American when we have Wall Street CEOs giving us advice and telling us that we need to cut back? It's outraging. It's disgusting. It makes me sick. But you know what? We have to step up here, and we have to examine why this is taking place and how it's taking place. And, you know, I know why it's taking place, and how it's taking place is media manipulation, is the politicization of everything, the idea that it's okay for lobbyists to smother our government. And that comes to the Tea Party, and that's why they're useful idiots for the corporations, and Fox News, and right-wing talk radio, fascist organizations that are committed to the corporate control over our state. Fascism is economic power, ruling the government, as FDR said in so many words. And that's what we're experiencing right now in America. And the proof of this is just look at some of the legislation that the Republican Party is passing. You have legislation that passed the House that would basically eliminate the Fair Labor Standards Act. This is an act that I believe was put into place in the 1940s, I'm just going off memory here, that requires employers to pay workers overtime. It awards a classification to workers okay, and basically says certain workers must be paid overtime, okay? And what happens is, you know, people that are working long hours, sometimes over 40 hours, the average work week for America is probably, I would guess, over 40 hours, probably 50 hours. People have come to depend on overtime. You know, I remember when I was an undergraduate student, there was an opportunity for me to get overtime. And it doesn't come without a cost. I mean, people that work overtime spend less time away from their family. Statistics show that people that work a lot of overtime hours are susceptible to diseases. I mean, if you work two jobs, you work 60, 70 hours a week, you're going to see an impact on your health, most likely. All right? People have become used to that, and people become dependent upon that. And corporate America looks at this, and again, corporations are only in existence to make profits. That's it. They're like giant monsters trying to devour as much profit as they can. They don't care about societal good, human need. That doesn't enter into the equation. That's ruled out by default. So these corporations who only care about making profit, they look at overtime and they say, you know what? We could save a lot of money by not paying people overtime. We could, you know, basically increase our CEO pay, and we could increase the pay of our executives, and we can make it more difficult for workers if we eliminate this act. And we could, you know, it'll increase our bottom line. It'll make it worse for the workers, make it more difficult for the workers. Which is the goal of corporate America and the very wealthy, is to treat workers as commodities, because that's what we are. We're commodities. We're just inputs into the work environment. That's it. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter what you do. You have no essence. And so they passed it. They passed this bill out of the House of Representatives. And my question is that, what would happen if this actually was signed? I mean, how far are these groups like the Chamber of Commerce and the business lobby willing to go to make it next to impossible to live in America? Well, I'm telling you, I've said this on this program before. I predict we will see a repeal of the minimum wage in America. That's where we're going. We already have, you know, Fox News and the Chamber of Commerce, you know, hacks, paid shills, advocating this. And you know what? These stupid Tea Party people, again, the useful idiots for corporate America, they would support this because they're just under the spell of the cult-like figure that is Rush Limbaugh or fill in the blank. We will see a repeal of the minimum wage in America. In another couple of weeks, we're going to see a repeal of certain sections of the Voting Rights Act. You see how we're moving backwards? You see how we're moving towards Dickens, England? You see how we're moving more and more and more to a corporate-controlled state? You see how it's getting more and more and more difficult to survive in America? And pretty soon, you and I are going to be happy to work for $3 an hour. That's where it's going. That's where this country is going. And that's where corporate America will take us if we allow them. And we're allowing them. We are absolutely allowing them. Every single person that voted for this bill that would allow corporations, businesses to not pay their employees overtime, they're committing treason. They're basically taking us back to slavery. And slavery does exist in America. We are still a slave nation. Make no mistake about it. And stuff like this, bills like this, prove it. You know, you don't have any freedom in the workplace. You don't have any voice in the workplace. You need money to survive in America. Your ability to make money is influenced by factors beyond your control. And your ability to make money is essentially controlled by banks. Very banks that are lending to our government. Everything goes to the banks. when all is said and done. Every dollar in your pocket, it's going to wind up in a bank. And I'm telling you, man, I don't know how much further I could go down. I mean, how much further can you guys go down? I mean, really? And you have to look at, if you're going down, if you're really, really struggling, who's benefiting? You know, somebody's benefiting from this. That's who. That's what you look at. You know, if I'm doing the job of three or four people at my workplace, and I'm being paid the same, and I'm working overtime, and I'm not being paid overtime, who's making out? Who's benefiting? Not you. The people that own your business. If you've got an increase in poverty in America, you know, you've got the people living paycheck to paycheck. Who's benefiting from that? That's where you have to look. And that's who ultimately is deciding our fate, is those that are benefiting from America's rolling back of workers' rights. Pretty soon in America, it's going to be illegal to even mention workers. You know how that piece of garbage Mitt Romney said that we should talk about wealth and income inequality in private rooms? Well, pretty soon in America, it's going to be recommended that we mention the word worker in private rooms. We can't even mention worker, you know? I mean, this is just un-goddamn believable. And I just, nothing is changing. We're continuing the status quo, and it's getting worse. It's going to get worse until the next crisis hits, and then we truly reform everything. I'm not saying we start from scratch. I'm not saying we, you know, eliminate this economic system and try to go to some utopian system that's never going to work, because no economic system is going to be perfect. But we need to contain capital. We need to center our economy around labor and say, you know what? Enough is enough. This is the United States of America. We are the greatest country, and we're going to say to businesses in America, if you want to do business here, if you want to enjoy this great country, if you want to enjoy our commons, you want to use our court system, our police system, our fire departments or whatever to get rich, you want to enjoy the privilege of limited liability, you want to get wealthy, well, you have to consider societal needs first. You have to make things in America, and you have to provide health care for your citizens. Actually, you know what? We'll provide health care for your workers, because government-run health care is the most efficient health care out there. We have to say that. We you know, the Fox Newses of the world, the right-wing talk radio, the Tea Party, these groups have to be relegated to the status of a white supremacist group in order for us to move forward. It's the truth. Instead, you know, I mean, not only have these groups gained legitimacy in our corporate media, I mean, they're calling the shots. You know, the interest of big business is considered above all else. If we're going to truly reform this country, we're going to have to say, you know what, it's immoral for a corporation to pay next to nothing in taxes. It's hurting our economy, because when one sector of the economy pays less in taxes, the other sector pays more in taxes. So corporations are going to have to start paying more of the cost of government. We're going to have to turn to Wall Street and regulate Wall Street and tax Wall Street transactions and put CEOs in jail whose companies destroy our economy. We're going to have to separate money. We're going to have to go to a localized economy, which we can do it, because we set the rules. We basically tell the world how it's going to be. And, you know, we don't need other countries. We don't need trade debt from China. We don't need to open ourselves to free trade. We don't. And we don't have to accept the idea that we're a globalized economy. I reject that notion. The United States of America has its own bank. We have the Federal Reserve. We could continue to print money, which I would argue is a good thing. I don't think that inflation is the result necessarily of printing money. Other countries that do not have a bank are struggling, you know, because they don't have control of their currency, other countries actually. But, I mean, you know, we can do it. We absolutely can, but unfortunately it's going to take another calamity to do it because we did not learn the lesson of the Great Depression. You know, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt raised taxes on the rich, when he spoke about economic royalists, he had the support of the American people. And, you know, everybody experienced a lot of pain in those days, and they wanted to have reform, and they did. And they had, we had progressive reform that benefited every class in America up until 1980 with the election of Ronald Reagan. Okay? And so we can do it. It's unfortunately, it's going to take us to really organize around the money that is organized around us and to put a stop to the madness. That's the bottom line, you know. And one thing that we've got a lot of things going on our side. Time is on our side, I believe. Look at the Hispanic community. You know, 16% of our population is Hispanic. They tend to vote for candidates that want to expand government services. They're not welfare recipients. They're not lazy. Hispanics are not lazy people. They receive a much lower share of the welfare benefits than do white Americans. Most of the welfare benefits go to white Americans. Okay? And so they're increasing. They're becoming a huge factor in our electoral college, our electorate across the country. You know, African Americans voting in record numbers now. This is all diversity. This is going to counter, you know, the white backlash that is known as the Tea Party, the organized white backlash. And that's what the Tea Party is, to a certain extent, I would argue. That's what got Ronald Reagan elected. And you know what? It's what keeps the moneyed interest in power. I believe this. Now, there was an article in the Nation magazine. I think it was in last month's edition of the Nation magazine that talked about how, you know, demographics in America might not necessarily bring about the change that we all hope for. And they use New York City as an example. You know, New York City is a city, I don't know how many people live in New York City, but it's a very, very diverse city, okay? You have people of all different races and sexuality and so on and so forth. And yet, they keep on electing right-wing mayors, which is unfortunate. They elect a guy like Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who thankfully is serving his last term, a anti-union, you know, pro-business Jewish billionaire. Not that, you know, him being Jewish matters, but, you know, this is a guy who economically is as conservative pretty much as anybody else is. And it's the same thing with Governor Christie, you know. But why is it that New York City elects someone like Bloomberg or Giuliani or Ed Koch or whatever? I don't know. It's a very interesting question. But I don't think the premise holds true on the federal level, because I think that states are different and that, you know, Hispanics and blacks and some whites out there understand that, you know, what serves the business community may not necessarily serve us. And they understand that government does have a role. And, you know, we need to expand government in certain sectors of the economy. That's just an absolute fact. And so, you know, we have time on our side. This corporatocracy is eventually going to reach its breaking point. It is. And I thought that, like you did, I thought that with the election of President Obama that we'd see change. I thought that, you know, that this would be the beginning of a progressive era. But no, I mean, President Obama slowly but surely revealed himself to be a very conservative president. And he is. He's a very conservative president on the things that matter to us, the things that are most important in our country. And so President Obama, who was elected to keep things the same, not change things, and has not changed anything. The only good thing that President Obama, well, I mean, he's done a few good things, but the only decent thing that President Obama has done in the past year or two is slightly raise taxes on the very wealthy. I mentioned earlier how the budget deficit seems to be under control. Federal spending is down, which is a bad thing, I would argue, if you want to stimulate the economy. But part of the reason why it's down is because revenues have gone up. And, you know, President Obama, unfortunately, wasn't able to raise taxes on individuals that make $250,000 a year or less. But he raised taxes on individuals making $400,000 and couples that make $450,000. It's a start. It is. But really, aside from that, you know, President Obama has been very conservative. I mean, this is, as the Black Agenda report suggests, President Obama is the more effective evil. You know, you have a point now in this country where Obama proposed cuts to Social Security where the Republicans couldn't get away with it politically, even though they tried to privatize it in 2005 or 2004, I believe. This is, you know, a so-called Democratic president. You have, I could just go on and on and on about the things that President Obama has done. But the point here is that the change has not come with the election of President Obama. And it's clear at this point it's not going to come with the election of President Obama. We're going to have a few things happen in order for change to really occur in America. And what's basically going to happen is something that I've said going back to 2010, is that the economy is going to continue to go the way it's going. You're going to have more wealth and income consolidation in America. The way to understand the political environment, one way to understand it, is to look at the statistics regarding wealth and income distribution. Right now in America, you have 1% of income earners earning 24% of the overall income. They're experiencing all of the income growth. You have that same 1% of income earners, depending upon which estimate you look at, owning anywhere from 50% to 90% of the nation's wealth. Okay? Just using those statistics, and those are facts, you can sort of see that we have a really declining economic system in America. This country is in a state of decline. Every life form is in a state of decline. And so just on a pure numbers basis, if you want to have a middle class economy, if you want to have a more equal society, you have to reverse those trends. You have to take the wealth out of the hands of the few, which have been achieved illegitimately, and you have to basically have the wealth end up in the hands of the most amount of people. It's the way that it's common sense. I mean, you know, if you have a few millionaires that experiencing all the income growth, they have all the wealth accumulation, well, they have more purchasing power than they know what to do with. And the rest of us are starving for purchasing power. And so we're going to have to go into debt to survive. And that's what's happened in America. It's common sense. The more money the people have, the more our economy can grow. I mean, it's just a matter of economic principle. The more money I have, the more money I spend, because I live paycheck to paycheck. And that trend is not going to stop. The more money you have, the more money you spend. In 2010, when President Obama, you know, did the payroll tax cut, and gave people a 2% tax cut on the payroll taxes, you had loads of economic stimulus across the country. And when that stopped in 2013, I believe, the economy felt the pinch, because demand side economics, whatever you want to call it, it works. It's you know, an economic principle that works. And so, you know, we have everything we need to prosper in this country. I lost my train of thought there, where I was going. But look, I mean, you know, this is what we need to do to take back the country. We need to accept the fact that it's a rigged game. You know, 1% of the population didn't get 25% of the overall income. It doesn't experience all of the income growth without a rigged game at hand. And the reason why we know this is rigged, we know this is rigged many, many reasons. One reason is the divergence between wages and productivity, right? People are working the hardest they've ever worked in America. The average work week is somewhere like 50 hours a week. Okay, people are working two or three jobs just to make ends meet. Productivity is up at all-time highs right now, 80%. It's up 80%, if not more, over the past 30-plus years. And yet, wages continue to stagnate. All of the income growth goes to the top 1%. All of the wealth accumulation has gone to the top 1%. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that the system is rigged. That tells you that no matter how hard you work, you're just going to be able to get by. While the people that speculate with money, the business owners of America, the shareholder class, they get to see their incomes explode because precisely of our economic policies. The accelerated wealth and income consolidation is not the result of, you know, free market forces. It's not the result, it's just the way it is, as the right wing would have you believe, the corporations would have you believe. It is the result of intentional, sustained economic policies that are designed to benefit the very wealthy. And this has been the law of the land economically ever since Ronald Reagan came into office. Ronald Reagan fundamentally transformed the way government works. He said that, you know what, instead of the government providing a backstop to the middle class, instead of the government investing in education, you know, what do they call, why should the government subsidize idle curiosity or something like that? And you, at that point, you had 80% of the federal loans, the student loans paid for by the government. Reagan, you know, switched government and made government work for the big businesses out there. And as a result of this, as a result of the decimation of unions, as the result of our free trade policies, as the result of handing the tax code over to groups like the Chamber of Commerce and ALEC, our economic system is completely rigged. And Americans are not going to experience any significant share of the national income as long as this is taking place. And so to reverse trend, you basically have to say, okay, you know what? I'm sorry. Big business has had a great run. The very wealthy have done very well, and their success has come at our expense. They have siphoned our wealth. They have siphoned our infrastructure. And so that's a good way to look at, you know, this country. Look at wealth and income consolidation. Look at, you know, poverty statistics. Look at the stock market. Look at, I mean, I know I said earlier these are bad ways to look at our economy, but they're good ways at telling you how distorted things are. Okay? And that's what I'm saying. And in order to, you know, do this, we have to reverse these trends. And we have to say, you know, we have to essentially attack corporate America. We do. We have to control the reins of government and attack corporate America. Because they've been attacking us for 30-plus years. And the proof is in the pudding, my friends. What's good for the wealthy is bad for us. what's good for the corporation is bad for the country as a whole. Once we start to really absorb these premises, and once we start to act on them, then we can reverse these trends, and then we can live in a more egalitarian society, okay? We'll be right back after this brief time out here on Carson's Corner. Remember to friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA, and you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. We'll be right back.
Many questions we have as we grow. It's hard to find answers to what we don't know. But sometimes there's someone to whom we can turn to teach us life lessons, help us to learn just what's important and what matters most. Much more than our teacher, and we call them coach. Right there to guide us when we need a hand. They reach deep inside us and help us to stand. To lead by example in words and in deeds, and show us the courage we need to succeed. And I stand before you, I'm proud to boast, I'm one of the many who's learned from the coach. To never surrender your hopes or your travel, the choices you make, the load that you carry, the chances you take. We raise our glasses and offer this toast to one who will always be known.
I was actually supposed to sing backup on that song, okay? Tony Luke Jr. was going to have me sing backup on that song. I'm just kidding. This is Carson's Corner. My name is Bob Carson. We're about to wrap it up here. Had a great time. We said a lot here. We always just say a lot here on Carson's Corner. You know, we always just we let everything hang out. There's no filter of opinion here on this program, and you should really be happy about that, because the content, the issues that we've discussed here today are not going to appear on your corporate media, which is why I think that a lot of people are tuning into the show. And not even just this show, but internet media in general. You know, they say that terrestrial radio is really in trouble. Part of the reason why is because people are just distrustful of the corporate media, and that's just unfortunate. Want to again remind you, you could check out my MMA show here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner. Tomorrow, we will be speaking with Monty Cox, world-famous MMA manager and promoter, writer, and so on and so forth. And we'll also have an update with Dan Quinn in the second hour of the program, 50-minute update with my friend Dan Quinn, world-famous Saint of Stevia, slandered by TMZ.com. And it's just absolutely disgusting what's happened to Dan. And you know, Dan made a point that you had a child molester in California, get next to nothing. And Dan is looking at 4 years for trying to protect himself from some malevolent forces out there. It's unfortunate, it really is, but whatever. So you can check that out tomorrow at 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio /Carson's Corner. Our MMA show is in conjunction with CageJunkies.com. And I want to encourage you to support David Levitt, who is listening out there, to support his efforts in raising awareness to missing children and exploited children, and the great work he's doing at SYMRadio.com. I'm just about out of here. I'm probably going to go out and get something to eat here. You know, I'm sleeping in my living room now. Those of you that follow me on Facebook know that we've had a problem, or I just recently found out that we have a problem with baby roaches, which is just absolutely disgusting. You know, I came home the other day, and I live in a 7x7 room, very, very small room, okay? It's just the bare minimum here. I'm happy to have a roof over my head, and I could just hear a scumbag relative of mine mocking me for living in a trailer, and I don't have to mention this person's name, but you know, my trailer, what I live in, is more legitimate than somebody else's mansion. So I'm not going to be indicted for living in my trailer, and yet somebody's going to be indicted probably for living where he lives. But so I got my stuff out of there. I'm sleeping in the living room, and we're trying to get an exterminator here, and I called Western Pest Services, and they didn't show up today. They called me late, and they're supposed to call me back, and I don't know if I'm going to go through. I'm probably going to go through my landlord here and whatnot, but it's just terrible. It really is, and so we're trying to deal with that and whatnot. I can't be around that stuff. You know what I mean? It's just it's really, really disgusting, and so. I'm out here in the living room now, and it's not fun living in the living room, but it is what it is, you know. I'm on Mediaite now, and I'm really getting sick and tired of the site. It's really become a right-wing site now. It's like a right-wing political gossip site, and I don't know. We'll see what happens. You got this Paige Schill. Who's this Christine Powers? Some, you know, you know what's funny is that these so-called liberals that you see on Fox News, they never get accepted into the progressive community. Christine Powers is just a useful idiot for Rupert Murdoch and the corporate forces out there. You know, oh, look, we've got a Democrat, look, you know. And, of course, the Democrats on, and I'm not a Democrat, I just want to point this out here. I don't support either political party. I am sympathetic to some in the Democratic Party and some that caucus with the Democratic Party, but the Democratic Party is not a people's party anymore. They're representing the same business interests, but they're perhaps slightly less oppressive than the Republican Party. And so you got, you know, corporate Democrats that are having their paycheck signed by Rupert Murdoch on Fox News, and you know, they're just paid to play a role. These people are just unanimously rejected by the progressive media, and rightfully so. You know, rightfully so. She's talking about told the sexual predator, O'Reilly, right? The predator, Bill O'Reilly. Obama is lying, playing word games, and trying to rewrite what he said on Benghazi. Isn't that great? You know, that's what we have to focus on. We have to focus on this U.S. consulate that was attacked in September of last year. We really have to focus on that, and we just have to have congressional hearings. We have to have nonstop media coverage because it's very important. We just have to focus on that. You know, we just have to. We really have to. It's just, you know, your life is really going to be affected by what happened in Benghazi. I mean, it really affects the working conditions of America. It really, really has a lot to do with our economic sovereignty. Get out. Just suicide yourself. Kirsten Powers, whatever your name is, I'll slap. I don't care if you're a female. I'll slap you around, okay? I'm so sick and tired of these people, yeah. But that's why I tell you, reject the corporate media. Reject it entirely. Do not give these people any credibility. Do not tune in. Do not support them in any way, shape, or form. And tune into shows like Carson's Corner. Okay? It's very, very important that you do. For Carson's Corner, I am Bob Carson. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.